Today, we are in a new series. This is week two of a series that we're calling Ambassadors, in which we are looking at ways in which God is using us to go and share the good news with those who are around us, to essentially to be ambassadors. And as ambassadors, as we look at this conversation, we have to recognize that no matter where we go or what we do, we carry a message for the King. Pastor Ryan spoke to us last week in the first week of the series, and if you haven't had a chance to listen to that message, I encourage you, go to our YouTube channel, go to our website, get caught up on that message. But Pastor Ryan spoke to us about, first and foremost, in order to be recognized as ambassadors, we have to understand that we are chosen first, that we are chosen to represent the King. We don't become qualified. We don't earn our way into that title of ambassador. We are chosen. Jesus chooses us. As ambassadors, we then see people differently. We see them the way that the King perhaps sees them, not by their politics or their behavior or their personality, but we see them the way that God created them. In His image, we see people who desperately need God. Our identities as ambassadors changes our behavior. You know, we not only see people differently, but the way that we talk, the way that we interact in our relationships, our work, our purpose in life, our marriages, you know, all these things become an outpouring because of our identity in Jesus. That's what it means to be an ambassador. As we look at today's message, we're answering the question, what message does the ambassador truly carry? And spoiler alert, we carry the message of the gospel. Now we're gonna dive deep into the gospel, and I wanna prepare you kind of for where we're headed in this conversation. You know, indeed, we're going to dive into this conversation. There's a lot to unpack here. Don't worry if you miss something today. That's why we're recording the messages. What I want you to hear and what I want you to listen to today is perhaps a perspective on the gospel as an ambassador, where it causes us to focus on maybe something different in this relationship with God. That perhaps as we stand in awe of the gospel, Jesus calls us to respond differently in situations that we find ourselves in. Now, if you're sitting here and you're going, Kevin, I've heard the gospel before. In fact, I try to share the gospel anywhere I can. Hang with me. Stay with me in this conversation. My prayer for you is that you see the gospel with a new set of eyes. If you find yourself in the conversation today going, man, this sounds kind of basic, I'll challenge you on the front side of this conversation. Are you still living in awe of the gospel? Is it deepening you? Is it strengthening your relationship with God? If you're sitting here going, I don't even know what this gospel is, I've never heard this thing before, I'm especially glad that you are here today. Today is not asking you to take this message that we're talking about and sharing it with others. Today is actually an invitation for you to receive the message yourself. I think the reality, though, is that's an invitation for every one of us in this room. But I want us all to understand that for any of us to truly be ambassadors, to carry the King's message, we must first humbly be transformed by it ourselves. And as we dive into today's conversation, I think the greatest problem that we face, the greatest problem that we have to understand as we talk about the gospel, is that it's not about trying to be better, not trying to be better at becoming an ambassador. It's that we need to be made right with God. But here's the good news for our conversation today. Once we've been made right with God, then He sends us out as ambassadors. He sends us out inviting others to receive this message as well. This is why we need to understand the gospel. This is why we have to understand what this looks like. Not so that we can explain it better, that's important, but it's so that we can personally be transformed by this, so that we can be deepened by the gospel. The gospel is not just a thing that starts the Christian life. It's the message that we receive and we continue to receive every single day. How is it deepening you? When I was a young man growing up in the church, I learned a very scripted out way of sharing the gospel with people. Quite literally, it was line by line, word for word, in order to help people see Jesus and lead them to Jesus. To me, though, it felt very memorized. It felt like I had to have this script and know exactly what to say. And if I said the wrong thing, man, like, did I just ruin this whole thing? Right? I knew as a Christian I was supposed to be sharing the gospel, but I remember the feeling of just feeling fake about it, feeling like I didn't have the skills, feeling like I didn't have the knowledge to even share the gospel, let alone live it. Maybe you felt that way before. Maybe you found yourself saying, man, I don't know what to say in this situation, and I don't know if I know enough about this to talk about the gospel. I remember there were two questions that you were supposed to ask as a part of this scripted out conversation. Maybe some of you have heard versions of these questions over the years. The first question that we were supposed to ask as we're sharing the gospel was, one, have you come to a place in your spiritual life where you would know for certain if you were to die today, you would go to heaven? It's a good question, right? Typical response was, yes, I know for sure. Nope, I don't know. Or perhaps maybe, right? The second question, suppose that you were to die today and stand before God, and he were to ask you, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say? A little heavier question, right? Heavy question if you've never taken the time to answer it, let alone try to understand what that question even means. I remember as a young man lying in bed late at night, wide awake, wondering how I would even answer that question. What would it even be like to stand in front of God? Like, what would I say when the time actually came? I think, truth be told, I was terrified. I find myself thinking, though, that there was another question that I think every one of us has to wrestle with, has to answer, and simply put, how can someone who is sinful even stand before a holy God to begin with? See, we can't. He's holy, he's perfect, but for the sake of this conversation, in order to make it personal, let's look at that second question again. Suppose you were to die today, and suppose you were to stand before God, and he were to ask you, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say? See, I think many people would probably respond in a very similar way. Many people would probably answer that question by pointing to themselves. Pastor Alistair Begg's famously responded to this second question a few years ago. You can find his response all over the internet. He says, if you answer that question in the first person, we've immediately gone wrong. Because I believe, because I have faith, because I am this, because I am continuing. He says, loved ones, the only proper answer is in the third person. Because he. I absolutely love that quote. It reminds us that Christianity has never been about what we have done for God. It's always been about what he has done for us through Jesus. That is the gospel. And before any ambassador can faithfully carry that message, We must humbly receive it for ourselves. So my friends, let's walk through the greatest story ever told, the gospel. The message of the gospel begins here, that God created us and he loves us. We were created to know him. We were created to love him. We were created to walk with him. We were created to enjoy a relationship with him. The gospel begins with God. And more specifically, it begins with the love of God. Probably one of the most famous verses in the Bible, one of the most famous verses in human history. There wasn't a time in which we couldn't go to a sporting event without seeing a sign that says John 3:16. I have a hard time reading John 3:16 without thinking about a 300-pound lineman, right? I don't want us to miss the importance of that verse. It's not it's not what we did for God. It's not our love for God. It begins with his love for us. For God so loved the world. You see, to understand the gospel, we have to understand this incredible truth. The people that God made are the people that God loves. The people that God made are the people that he loves. Think about that. The God who spoke galaxies into existence. The God who formed mountains. The God who holds the universe together. This is the same God who made you. That loves you. It's incredible. This is where it begins. And if that's true, if God created us, and if God loves us, and if he creates us to be in a relationship with him, we have to ask an obvious question in this conversation around the gospel. What went wrong? To answer that question, we don't have to look too far into Scripture. Genesis 3 tells us what went wrong, what caused a separation in our relationship to God. Sin separated us from God. See, God created Adam and Eve to be in a perfect relationship with him, but they believed a lie. They believed that their life would be better their way than God's way, and humanity has been making the same choice ever since. Romans 3:23 tells us, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us have sinned. Sin isn't just breaking a few rules. Sin is a rebellion against God. Every sin begins with believing that my life would be better somehow if I were king instead of letting God remain king. Sin says that I know better. My way is better. I'll decide what's right for my life. I'll choose my own way. Sin damages our relationships. It produces guilt. It produces shame. And ultimately, my friends, sin separates us from the God that we're created to know. This is humanity's greatest problem, and it's a problem that none of us can fix. See, the problem has never been that God doesn't love us. The people that God made are the people that God loves. The difficulty in this conversation is that God is perfect. He's holy. And because he is holy, because he's a perfect God, he simply cannot overlook our sin. Think about it this way. If a judge let every criminal walk because he was a loving judge, we wouldn't call him a good judge. We would call him a corrupt judge. A good judge deals with wrongdoing, and in the same way, a holy God must deal with our sin. This creates a dilemma. God is perfectly just, but he is also perfectly loving. So you may ask, Kevin, how can God punish sin and still love sinners? How can people who have rebelled against a holy God ever be made right? What sacrifice can possibly be made in order to be enough? Romans 3:25 gives us the answer. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement. Jesus became our sacrifice. It was a shedding of his blood. It was his sacrifice on the cross. God didn't ignore sin, he judged it. But instead of pouring his judgment out on us, he poured it out on his son. Jesus stepped into our place. He bore our guilt. He took our shame. He paid our debt. You see, the cross is where God's justice and God's mercy meet. The sacrifice was accepted. The way back to God was open. Paul explains exactly what happens at the cross in 2 Corinthians 5:21. Let's read this verse together. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Not with religion, not with morality, not with trying harder or giving more effort. The Bible says God's standard is not that we try to become better than we used to be. God's standard is holiness. It's perfection. So here again is the dilemma. We have sinned against a holy, perfect God, and we cannot do anything to make ourselves right with him. This is where many people get stuck. We naturally believe that if I cause the problem, I should be able to fix it, right? So we try. We try to become better people. We try harder. We try to become more religious. We try to do enough good things to outweigh the bad. We try harder, give more, serve more. We go to church. And all those things are great things, my friends. But here's the truth. Here's the catch in this whole thing. None of those things can save you. Ephesians 2:8-9 tells us, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourself, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. See, salvation cannot be earned. It cannot be deserved. It cannot be achieved. It can only be received. So how do we receive it? We receive by faith alone. By faith alone. Think about it this way. If I could make myself right with God, why would Jesus need to come? If I could save myself by becoming a better person, then why the cross? If religion could save me, then why did Jesus die? Like, here's the reality. If we could make ourselves right with God, then we wouldn't need Jesus. Many religions of the world will tell you that you need to work your way to God. The gospel says something drastically different. God came to us. Remember that verse from before, John 3:16? Let's read that verse together. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. See, God saw our condition. He saw our sin. He saw our rebellion. And he saw that we could never save ourselves. Yet he came for us. But it doesn't stop there. John 3:17, immediately after verse 16, the verse that we probably overlook the most, it's just as incredible. John 3:17, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. It's incredible. I look at these verses and I see them with fresh eyes. I don't see 300-pound linemen anymore. Jesus didn't come because we finally got our act together. Look at these verses. The people that God made, the people that God loved, the people who rebelled against him, those are the people that Jesus came to save. God's response to our rebellion was redemption. And indeed, Jesus died for the world, but at some point the gospel has to become personal. Jesus came and died for me. But Kevin, how could the death of Jesus make me right with God? Why me? Paul gives us the answer. Let's look again at 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become righteousness of God. Jesus, completely without sin, perfect, holy, righteous, catch it in him so that we could become righteousness. We are made righteous. There's a word in Romans 3, I mentioned it earlier, it's a word that we don't often use that much, but I think it's an important word to understand in today's conversation. It's that word atonement. Paul writes in Romans 3:25 that God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. And what does this mean? What does this word atonement mean? I can define atonement using big theological words, but here's the simplest definition that I can share with you. Atonement is what Jesus accomplished on the cross so that we could be made right with God. It's a wonderful definition. Simply put, it's what Jesus did to make us right with God. Isaiah 53:6 says, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us have turned to our own ways. Yet the Lord laid on him the iniquities of us all. See, God took what belonged to us, our sin, our shame, our guilt, our condemnation, and he placed it upon Jesus. Jesus takes our sin. See, you see how this works? Do you see what happened? We receive what belongs to him. He takes what belongs to us, our sin. My friends, that is the great exchange. Jesus took everything that belongs to us, and in return, we receive forgiveness. We receive peace. We receive eternal life. We're accepted before the Father. We're made right. This is what makes us right with God. My friends, this is the gospel. This is why we can stand before a holy God who created us, who loves us. This is what allows us to be in a relationship with a perfect, holy, incredibly awesome God. Many people think that Christianity is about becoming a better person. No. The Bible says it's about becoming a new person. You're not saved because you finally became good enough. You are saved because Jesus was good enough. The gospel doesn't say that we have to try harder. The gospel doesn't say do more stuff. The gospel says trust Jesus. Romans 6:23 tells us, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Notice that word, gift. Gift. Salvation is a gift. Forgiveness is a gift. Eternal life is a gift. You don't earn a gift, my friends. You receive a gift. That brings us to another important question in today's conversation. Who are you trusting? Who are you trusting? You see, there's a difference between knowing about Jesus and knowing Jesus. Knowing about Jesus means that you know the facts. You know what happened. You know that he was born in Bethlehem. You know that he died on the cross. You know that he rose from the grave. And you might agree that all those things happened. That's knowing about Jesus. That's no different than me knowing about LeBron and knowing about Elon or knowing about Abraham Lincoln. I just know facts. I don't know any of them. I'm not in a relationship with any one of them. Knowing Jesus means that we are placing our faith in him. Knowing Jesus is entering into a relationship with him. It's no longer just information that I know. It's not just information that I believe. It's entrusting your life to a person that you're in a relationship with. Let me say it this way. There's a difference between believing facts about Jesus and placing your faith in Jesus. You can believe that Jesus exists. You can attend church. You can own a Bible. You can know all the things that this thing says. But here's the real question. Here's the real question. Have I placed the weight of my life? Have I placed the weight of my future? Have I placed the weight of my eternity completely on Jesus? Let me ask the question that I asked of you earlier today. Suppose you were to stand before God today, and suppose he were to ask you, why should I let you into my heaven? What would your answer be? Because if your answer begins with I tried, I was, I did, I became, then my friends, I humbly and gracefully ask you another question. Who are you trusting? The gospel invites us into a completely different answer. Not because of what I have done, but because of what Jesus Christ has done for me. Because he lived the life that I could never live. Because he died the death that I deserve. Because he rose again in victory over death. Why should I be led into heaven? Because Jesus made me right with God. The question today is not, are you good enough? You're not, neither am I. The question is, who are you trusting to make you right with God? A relationship with God begins when we stop trusting ourselves and we place our faith completely in Jesus. Jesus took your sin so that you could receive his righteousness. That's how we are made right, my friends. This is the gospel. And here's the truth. This is the message that every ambassador carries. This is the message that every ambassador has been entrusted to carry. And before we can even begin to think about carrying it, we have to first receive it. We have to understand it. We have to believe it. We have to have faith in it. As I look around this room today, I believe that every one of us falls into one of two places in this conversation. When it comes to salvation, you're either in or you're out. There is no in-between status in this conversation. I'll quote a dear person in my life. They say this to me all the time. Either all of this is true or none of this is true. There is no in-between. You can't have it both ways. When it comes to salvation, you either have faith in Jesus or you don't. You're either in or you're out. If you've never placed your faith in Jesus, today God is inviting you to receive the greatest gift that you'll ever be offered. That you will ever be offered. You're being offered to be made right with God through Jesus. If you never trusted Jesus, maybe today you've realized something. You've been trying to be good enough, trying to balance out the bad with enough good. But today you've heard the truth. You cannot do anything to make yourself right with God. Only Jesus can. Today he offers you forgiveness. The invitation is simple. Turn from your sin. Receive the gift of grace. Be reconciled to God. Stop trusting yourself. Trust Jesus. God isn't asking you to be perfect before you come to him. He's not asking you to fix something. He's inviting you to come to him. If this is where you are today, don't leave without telling someone. Don't leave here without telling someone. Come talk to me. I'll be right up here right after this message. I'll be out in the lobby. Come talk to me. Talk to one of our pastors. Talk with one of our staff members. Talk to a volunteer that's wearing a lanyard today. If this is you, if you are accepting Jesus, trusting Jesus, putting your faith in Jesus, don't leave here today without telling someone. There's nothing that would make us happier than to pray with you, to walk with you in you taking your first steps with Jesus. Don't leave here today without telling someone. Now let me shift gears and speak to those who already trust Jesus. You're not getting off the hook that easy. Today, you have also received the message. Please hear me when I say this. Today is an opportunity for you to be reminded of God's grace and what he has done in your life, how he has changed your life, how he is deepening your life. Ask yourself, am I still living in the wonder of the gospel that I've received? Do I still stand in awe of the gift that God has given to me? This is the beauty of all of this. It's amazing. It's mind-blowing. The gospel is simple enough for a child to receive it, yet deep enough that we'll spend eternity standing in wonder and amazement of it. Are you still living in the wonder of the gospel? Is the gospel changing your life every single day? Is it Is it something that you just check the box with? Is it something that you probably should think about on Sunday? No. The gospel deepens us. We learn from it. We grow from it. It leaves us in wonderment. My friends, I don't want us to wait until we are at our breaking point in this conversation. I don't want us to wait until something catastrophic takes place in our life where we finally accept this message. The message of the gospel isn't something that we use as a magic pill that fixes all of our problems. This is something that God has given to us to live life completely different, right here, right now, today. As God's ambassadors, we have been entrusted with this ministry. As ambassadors, we see people differently. We live differently. Our behavior changes. Our desire becomes one in which we don't want a single soul to miss out on this message. We don't want a single person to miss out of this gift from God. My friends, we are on mission for the King. We've been entrusted with this message. We have been entrusted with the gospel. You have been chosen to carry this message for the King. My friends, you are an ambassador. The gospel sends you out as God's ambassadors to invite others to be reconciled with Him. This means wherever you go, whatever you do, you represent a King, King Jesus. God has strategically placed you where you are for a reason, not by accident. He didn't just save you from something, He saved you for something. No ambassador wakes up in the morning and goes, what message do I feel like sharing today? An ambassador faithfully delivers the message of the one who sent them. My friends, we share the truth. We don't invent the gospel. We don't edit the gospel. We don't soften the gospel. We share the story of the gospel. We share the truth. We carry the gospel. The gospel is the good news of what Jesus has done for us. What we could never do for ourselves so that we could be made right with God. And let me make it even cleaner. Let me simplify it just a little more. If someone asks you this week, what is the gospel? I hope you could answer with these statements. God loves us. Sin separated us. Jesus became our atoning sacrifice. We receive by faith alone. Jesus makes us right with God. My friends, these are the same statements that we wake up to every single day. This is the gospel day in and day out. This is what strengthens us. This is what comforts us. This is what gives us the ability to wake up and keep delivering the message day in and day out. Imagine what would happen if everyone in this room embraced this. Imagine what would happen if everyone embraced their identity as an ambassador. Not just on Sundays, but man, every single day. Imagine if every one of us prayed for one person. Maybe shared our story with one person. Invited one person. Loved one person towards Jesus. This is how the gospel spread in the first century. Not because a couple of pastors preached about it, but because ordinary people recognized that they followed an extraordinary King. Man, that's incredible. That gives me purpose. That makes me see people differently. That makes me want to live a life that is different. Yeah, I'm on mission for the King, but man, I see it differently now. As we As we wrap up our conversation this morning, as our time comes to an end, you may be asking, Kevin, what do I do with all this? And here's my challenge for us. Here's what I think we can do with it this week. Let's start here. Pray for one person. Pray for a person who doesn't know Jesus. Ask God to give you eyes to see who He is already preparing. Share your story. Share your story with someone. You don't need to know all the answers. Just tell them what Jesus has done in your life. Invite someone. Invite them to church. Invite them to coffee. My friends, invite them into a spiritual conversation. And when God opens the door, don't be afraid to simply tell them the gospel. Remember, you don't save people, Jesus does. Your responsibility isn't to change someone's heart. Your responsibility is to faithfully represent the King. That's what ambassadors do. There's an invitation before all of us today. For some, today is the day that you come to Jesus. You've been trying to make yourself right. You've been trying harder, but you can't do anything to fix it. Only Jesus can. Receive the gift that He has already purchased for you. For others, today is a day in which we go for Jesus. If you've placed your faith in Jesus, remember who you are. Remember who you are. You're an ambassador. Now go and live like it. Why? Because you belong to Jesus. You're on mission for the King. And when someone asks you, when someone asks, why are you so confident in your faith? What hope do you have? Don't make it about you. Don't say, because I. Say, because He. Because He lived. Because He died. Because He rose again. Because He made me right with God. And what Jesus has done for me, He offers to you. My friends, go and represent your King. Would you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You that You are a God who loves us. You are a God who created us. You are a God who is desperate to be in a relationship with us. And Father, thank You for seeing our sin. Thank You for seeing our rebellion and sending Jesus. That Jesus was the rescue plan, that Jesus came to save us. Father, for that we thank You. Thank You for Your Son's death on the cross. Thank You for His victory over death that gives us eternal life. Father, I ask You to remind us of that message every single day. Allow it to grow us, to deepen us, to allow us to stand in awe and wonderment of what You are doing every single day. Father, if there is someone here today that is seeing this differently for the first time, that want to take their first step towards You, fill them with Your Spirit, fill them with peace, fill them with the confidence to talk with someone before they walk out of here. Father, for us to be ambassadors, remind us that we carry that message. As we go forth, Father, I ask You to be with our people. Bless them, fill them with Your Spirit, give them peace as they go forward. Allow them to share the good news, to share what God is doing in their lives with those who are around them. That's what ambassadors do, Father, and for that we thank You. Father, come be with us today. Be with us as we lift our voices in worship towards You. when we bring all these things to Jesus, we bring it because he died, because he rose, because he has victory over death. In all things, Father, we bring them to you in your Son's name, Jesus.